And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Good morning and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert for August 31st. I'm Dave Slade, The Cradle.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew, The Convert.
Hey, Mark, you had a week off last week.
We did.
The Relevant Radio Fun Drive was on all last week, and we always give up our hour of the week for them to play Father
That's
Simon's.
Right.
It's actually the second hour of morning air.
Right.
And they raised about $1 million. They were a little short. I'm sure that they will have another fundraiser pretty quick to try to catch that up. They need $1.4 million a quarter
to run.
And the people from our area that donate to Relevant Radio during the fund drives will be happy to know that Relevant gives us a portion of that money back to help us with our operations costs, because we're totally listener supported.
And we appreciate it, folks,
yeah,
very much.
Do. Well, Mark, the hurricane
down in Houston,
Hurricane Harvey. I was going to make a phone call this morning. I have a priest friend in Galveston by the name of Father Oren Halapesca, and he lives in Galveston. I met him on a Mexican trip this spring.
Really?
And we were going to have him on the show, and we've just never really gotten around to hooking up with him. But I thought, boy, this would be great to get firsthand. Well, he's in Krakow.
Oh, he's probably safe over there from the flood.
Yeah, and he's been doing a trip over to Poland. He's been there for about a week. But he said he's very concerned about what's going on back here.
Oh, I hope.
And, of course, his parish and the people of his parish he's concerned about. I guess the storm has moved off into Louisiana now.
Right.
And it's supposed to slowly dissipate. And from what I understand, we won't feel any of the effects other than maybe some clouds on Saturday.
Yeah, they were predicting earlier, Dave, that we'd get quite a bit of rain out of it this weekend, but they've changed that. You're right.
Well, we had quite a bit of rain on Monday, didn't
That was a lightning storm, too.
Yeah, it was. That was
wicked.
A toad strangler, as they used to call them.
That's right.
Also this week in town, we have the Farm Progress Show.
Yes.
Out there at Richland at Progress City that is estimated to bring in, I heard someone say, 2.3 million visitors to the city to see that equipment.
Yep.
I know there's over $1 billion worth of tractor equipment and farm equipment out there. And it's the way that's set up out there. All the streets have names. They're paved.
Right.
It is a beautiful facility for this huge Farm Progress Show that brings people in from all over the world.
That's right.
A good day to go out to the airport and watch the private planes come in and out and the corporate jets and all of that. It's if you want to see the airport in action, these 3 days of the show is a time to be out there.
I've heard people complaining that you can't find a hotel room from Bloomington and further north and to the east and the west, you know, past Champaign and
Well, and I'm sure it does. It's a great boon for the economy here in Macon County.
Yes.
Most of our hotels and motels are in Forsyth. There's a few in Decatur that are full. The restaurants are kicking it big and making a lot of money.
Right.
And bringing, what do they call it? Visitors and Bureau. What do they call that bureau? The Visitors Bureau?
Oh, yeah. Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Bringing in good bucks into the city while this is out there.
Right.
I know there's a police presence out there, and you probably won't notice it much other than traffic control.
Right.
Our good, fine police department here in Decatur will be on hand out there, but you probably won't see them because they're just supposed to be in the background to make you feel safe.
That's right.
Now, there's some sad news also out of Decatur.
There is. Yeah. We lost one of our patriotic sons, if you will, from our general area, and, of course, that's Logan Palmer, who was killed in the collision with the USS McCain. And I think it was a week or so ago. And we held out a lot of hope that he was in a watertight compartment, perhaps, and just waiting for the rescuers to get there. But that wasn't the case. But we certainly want his dear friends and his grieving family to know how much we are with him in our thoughts and prayers, and also our pride in him for having served his country and given the ultimate sacrifice in service. And we We're with you, folks.
Yep.
We're with you.
We need to figure out how come those ships are running into each other. Well, the second one in, what, 2 months?
Third one in about a year.
Yeah.
In awful, that same theater.
They're awful big. It seems like there's either something going on or there's something's going on
right,
anyway.
Right.
Okay.
And as I understand it, the Navy is hard at work at that.
Yeah. Well, they replaced the Admiral already.
They did. So. Pretty quickly.
All right, Mark, this morning on the show, we have a guest in studio with us, Mr. Kyle Holtgrave from the diocese. Kyle does youth ministry for the entire diocese, and he's going to come on and tell us a little about him and what's going on with the diocese as far as youth ministry. And we're going to do that when we come back on the other side of this break. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR Catholic Radio for Decatur and Central Illinois.
Each day, the world is blessed by the heroic dedication of holy Catholic priests serving in our parishes and religious orders, in nursing homes and hospitals, and as military chaplains around the world. Since the secular culture is often quick to criticize Catholic priests, it's so important for us to offer our prayers and gratitude for the countless holy Catholic priests who serve humanity with courageous virtue and dedication to Jesus and the gospel. EncouragePriests.org was launched by the Catholic media apostolate CatholicsComeHome.org during the year for priests to support our priests and promote vocations. By visiting EncouragePriests.org, you'll be able to help the priests in your life through spiritual bouquets, written or video greetings, and collar holler e-cards. Let's pray daily for our seminarians, priests, bishops, and our Holy Father who bring us the sacraments and help guide our path to heaven. Thank you for joining us in this apostolic mission of EncouragePriests.org and CatholicsComeHome.org.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert.
You've been practicing, buddy.
Yeah.
That was good.
Hold on while I put my guitar down.
Yeah. Don't fling the pick around in the air like you usually do.
We have a guest with us in the studio this morning.
Kyle
Holtgrave from the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. And Kyle comes to Springfield after serving as a parish youth minister in Belleville, Illinois, in the Metro East area. He has been here in this diocese for how many years now?
Almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years.
Wow, he's that's been a long time. Here.
And he basically formulates the programs for youth ministry, Totus Tuus, and things like that. And he's here today to talk to us about the Catholic Youth Conference that's going to be in Indianapolis. Is that correct? November?
Correct.
Okay. Kyle, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you've been a guest before on the telephone, but today we get to see you face-to-face, and that helps us kind of remember who we're dealing with. And being a man from Springfield in the diocese office over there, the folks want to hear what's going on, and you can tell us all about it. Tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having
me. Good morning. Thank you for being here.
It's great to be out. Nice summer, end of the summer weather.
Yeah.
And traffic wasn't too bad with the farm show coming in yet, so I'm sure.
Great.
I saw plenty of signs a long way out, so I'm sure they deal with it really well. But anyway, I come to the diocese from Belleville, where I served as a parish youth minister for about 8 years. And I'll be in 10 years here in the diocese, and my primary mission is to serve the parishes to help them develop some kind of youth outreach so that our young people feel more connected to the church. Our overall goal is to form intentional disciples, and we need to do that at all levels. It's not just a young person thing. We have great Catholic schools in our diocese. We have wonderful PSR programs, but we want to make sure we catch as many people as we can, and that's where youth ministry comes. It's there to complement the catechesis that we're already getting in the in our school systems and in our PSR programs and whatnot. So my primary mission, like I said, is to reach out to parishes, help get a youth minister established there, help that person feel like they can be successful in their ministry role. And then to do that, I offer larger activities that make more sense to do as on an institutional level instead of on a parish level. So that's where programs like you mentioned, Totus Tuus, come in. The March for Life is a big event that I sponsor for the diocese as well, where it's a lot more fun to get a bunch of parishes to collaborate together on a trip like as opposed to each parish trying to individually make their own plans. The National Catholic Youth Conference, which we'll talk about today, is another one of those things where collectively we register as a diocese, and then we represent our diocese at this event at the the Lucas Oil Field in Indianapolis.
Okay. Neat.
So the conference in Indianapolis, it's a nationwide conference?
Correct.
Coming from all over, and some keynote speakers, people that we might recognize as speakers?
Correct. It's a three-day event. They held it every 2 years. It's been in Indianapolis for the past few events. We just get a really good location there, and they've learned by returning to a familiar facility, they can do things a lot quicker than going to a new place each time, which is great for us because it's just literally right down the road. A lot of the parishes on the eastern side of our diocese, a hop, skip, and a jump for
them. Sure.
So that's a great resource. But NCYC, National Catholic Youth Conference, three-day event. It involves prayer. It involves keynote speakers about our Catholic faith. We go to the convention center after our general sessions in the Lucas Oil Stadium, and there's tons of breakout sessions for young people. There's also sessions for adults, too, so that the chaperones that go to this event can go find something that will feed them. And in between, there's an exhibit hall where there's lots of interactive things for the young people to do, anything from Catholic colleges having their information out there, vocations area, lots of hands-on things where the kids can work with stuff with their hands, and they always feature a service project every year. And I believe they're doing, I don't remember the exact name of it, but something where to help assemble meals that will then get boxed up. Oh. And we're going to try to get as many truckloads as we can because we're expecting 25,000 teenagers at this event. So there's plenty of hands.
They should be able to box a lot.
I would hope. So
Kyle, when you speak about the breakout sessions, excuse me, are there electives for the kids? I mean, they get a menu of what the sessions are and they can choose?
Correct.
Okay,
there's five or six different tracks or different sessions throughout the event itself. And there'll be a schedule of who's presenting and what the topic's about so young people can find a topic that's relevant for them. And I try to tell larger groups, divide and conquer. Everybody in your groups, try to catch as many of those courses as you can and then come back in the evening at the hotel and share and talk about what you've learned. And what I like about having all these electives, it's that opportunity to provide a spark for a young person to get an idea, take that idea back to the home parish and run with it. Because a lot of times in our parishes, people say, well, we want to do something for our young people, but we don't know what that is. Yeah. Well, if you go to a national event like NCYC, you're going to see the church, you're going to see the Holy Spirit really moving a lot of people, and you're going to find something that's really going to be important to you. It's not a cookie cutter, one size fits all, everyone does this and rah, 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 we're good to go.
Sure.
We want everyone to find what's going to make their, you know, really that's going to sit well with them so that they can take that information and run with it back in their own parish.
Wow, that's exciting.
You know, Kyle, one of the things, and I probably beat this to death on the show, and Mark will probably roll his eyes, but 100 years from now, if our faith is still to be strong, it's the people, the young people that we're training up today that are going to carry that forward. You know, we'll all be gone in 100 years. All the Christians that are alive now, basically, maybe they'll be living to 120 by then, but we're going to turn it over to a new generation to continue moving the ball forward in the field, you know, of Christianity and especially Catholicism. And it's so vital that we catechize these young people so that they know what they're talking about. They fall in love and they become on fire for the Lord so that our religion can continue. You know, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And that's why I think it's so good to have youth involvement. And it seems like we kind of have been behind the curve a little bit in the Catholic Church with youth ministries. Some of the mega churches, they have these dances every weekend and lots of stuff going on. But I think we're catching up. And we want it to be a formation, too. We just don't want it to be out there having a dance, having fun. It's got to have some formation to it, or else they can just go to a dance somewhere. And I think youth ministry is such a powerful thing because it's absolutely the future of the church.
Very, very, very true. But I want to kind of gently remind people that when we say it's the future of the church, we need to remember they're the church right now.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we're ministering to people at all stages of their journey of discipleship. So we need to start thinking in context of what can we have our young people doing in the church? What are their gifts that they can be sharing? And it may be a dance. That may be one way that we celebrate young people, because we certainly want young people to feel that being a Christian is about the fullness of life. And, you know, Jesus promised that we would live life to the fullest. So youth ministry is an opportunity for that. But we need to do more than just the simple things like that. We need to make sure we give some depth. We need to make sure that they're giving some challenges so that they can take where they are right now and run with it in the church. So when people use that language of, well, they're the future, well, it's a true statement. But we need to remember, what are we doing right now with them?
Yeah, that's great. Great point.
At what point, Kyle, do you think in the past, I mean, parents just taking their kids to Mass and getting them involved in the parish and so on and so forth was sufficient for many years to keep perpetuating generations of mm-hmm. faithful Catholics? And at some point over the past, well, I won't even speculate, but over past years, we've seen a gradual decline in our youth remaining
Correct.
In the church after they reach the ages of maturity, where all that background, and no matter how good the land was laid for these kids and the foundation built, many have strayed away. And in particular, many who go off to our institutions of higher learning, where everything seems to get erased from their mind that they were taught at home, and they get reprogrammed to be just free thinkers and with not a lot of connection sometimes to their past and their values. So what do you think this particular youth ministry does for us with that respect?
Well, you're getting into the field of what we call cultural Catholicism,
right.
And that era has long passed.
Right.
Part of what's precipitating that is we've seen not just a generational shift. I'm not even sure what the right word is for it, but we're moving into postmodernism.
Yes.
Modernism was ushered in by the invention of the printing press back
right.
in the Middle Ages, where all of a sudden people had print materials and could start learning to read, and literacy rates started to increase. So that changed how the church and how the culture at large related to people. Well, we're seeing another shift now where it's not just print media, but everything's now digital. How many people have? I brought visual aids. I'm sure that helps on radio, but if you pull your phone out here, pull your smartphone out, how many young people are looking at their screens?
Constantly.
And that's a shift. That's a monumental shift in
Absolutely.
How young people get information. So people learning about other traditions, learning about other faiths, and questioning what it is about, why are they Catholic, is so much easier now because there's so much information out there that's it's almost information overload that we're just really wiring young people to the max with all the stuff that they can get. So the challenge as a church is, how can we use that to our advantage? How can we help young people see the beauty of the Catholic faith?
Right.
And it starts at a very young age where we have to lay that foundation, and that's where youth ministry can step in and say, we need to make sure that we're giving young people a firm foundation so that when they're inundated with the choices of the world, you're talking about going to college, all the fun that is for a young person, and how different it is now in this day and age. And how do we make sure that even though a young person is not there with mom and dad to help guide them in their decisions, that they're going to make the right decisions throughout that time that they're away from mom and dad? And that goes on. Again, I keep mentioning intentional discipleship.
Right.
You know, we can't just catechesis alone isn't going to do it. So
we need to
really focus on how do we make this, how do we not just get them to pass a test, how do we get them to internalize that? And that's where evangelization comes in, and that's where NCYC fits in very, very well. If you've been catechized and aren't sure what does it really mean to be Catholic, you come to an event like NCYC, World Youth Day, all these big events where the church comes together, you're going to feel the Holy Spirit, and it's going to click, and it's going to make sense, and says, wow, this is the Catholic Church. It's
That's
not
right.
just what I study in this book. It's this group of people who are on fire for each other. They're on fire for Jesus Christ, and I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, you know, you brought up the digital age, and I've had these nightmares, you know, where you're going to Mass 25, 30 years from now, and the priest is up there saying, the Lord be with you, and you've got 2,000 people out there with their smartphones, and with your spirit clickety clickety click, you know, send bloop, there it goes. You know, I just wonder how far things will have to go to really capture people in that age, that digital mindset.
Let me remind everybody that you're listening to The Cradle and the Convert here on 88.9 and 96 WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio. And we're talking with Kyle Holtgrave, the director of the Office for Youth and Young Adult Ministries for the Diocese of Springfield in Illinois. I'm interested about how many people are going with you to the youth conference in Indianapolis.
Well, right now I have officially 111 people that are signed up, and I've got several of the parishes that in the past couple of weeks that have already contacted me. I know the early deadline on my registration stuff was sometime back in June.
June 30th.
But that's okay, because we still have plenty of room to add more people to the event. The conference itself, I can register people. If you go up until September 30th, if I get it in by close of business by September 30th, I still get a decent rate as far as registration. After that, until about mid-October, you pay a little bit more, but I can squeeze you in. And the only thing that limits me right now is, where can I put you in the hotel? The event itself, if 20 people show up, that's great. If 25,000 people show up, that's great too.
Sure.
There's plenty of room in the Lucas Oil Stadium for people. The limitation for me is, where can I put you for an overnight accommodation?
Right.
And are we talking 16 to 21, or what are the age groups?
This is a high school event. So if you're in high school right now, this fall, you can go to the National Catholic Youth Conference.
So 14 to 18, basically.
Young adults are eligible to go. They can't be chaperones until they're 21. They've tried doing what was called the National Catholic Collegiate Conference in conjunction with it to help the college students as well, but that hasn't really gotten a whole lot of traction. So right now they're focusing on college, high school into early college, to continue giving something that will feed young people and inspire them to, again, go out and evangelize in their own community.
For the young adults, the 21-year-olds out there, Kyle, I'm assuming, and maybe for some of the parents of the kids who want to go or are going, all the chaperones have Protecting God's Children.
Correct. Okay. Correct. I got to certify that all the adults have been properly screened and meet our standards. I volunteer with the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, so I have to do theirs as well.
Okay, yeah.
So, no big deal. I jump through the hoops and get all that done and get the documentation. But we want to make sure it's a safe environment.
Absolutely.
We have minimum supervision ratios. It's not just a free-for-all where kids just show up. We've got to have adults to go with them. Transportation I do not provide with this event, because all the parishes kind of have their own schedules. We've got some folks that need to leave later because of school.
Sure.
Some folks on the eastern side of the diocese, like I said, they're a hop, skip, and a jumping away. So they're used to going there, so it doesn't make sense to try to cram everybody into a bunch of buses and go that
way. Well, that was one of my questions. Did everybody ride over in a bus singing 99 bottles of beer on the wall, or did they all do the rosary there and back?
Great River Tech out of Quincy does have 77 of those 111 people signed up already. So they're planning on bringing a bus and a couple of vans to go with them. They've made those arrangements.
Good for them.
Yeah, they do a super job of recruiting. They work within that community of the Teens Encounter Christ Retreat Program, and they'll have kids from probably 8 or 9 different parishes, including some non-Catholics, go to this event as well.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a great time. And that area around Lucas Oil Field in downtown Indianapolis has got a lot of great restaurants and things to do. It's a beautiful area to hang out. If you happen to be a supervisor, or not, I'm stuck again on a word.
A chaperone.
I've been helping a friend get into assisted living this week.
I think you're kind of rubbing off on you.
I can't find my keys.
I don't think they call them chaperones at that age.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. But that's the other end of the spectrum. You know, we need to do a show on that too, Mark.
Yeah, we
need to talk about, here today we're talking about the youth, and then we need to focus next time we get together, talk about the
more
older
mature
folks. And we do have our guest next week is coming in to talk about the role of the ministry here at the hospital, and I'm sure they have assisting people in finding places when older folks need help.
True.
But back to the youth of the day.
Yes.
This conference is actually November.
It's the 16th through the 18th.
16th through the 18th.
So it's a Thursday through Saturday. And we always stay the night Saturday night because of safety. We don't want people traveling late at night.
Yeah.
And it makes it for an easier drive Sunday morning to get home.
Sure.
We close with Mass Saturday evening with the local archbishop, so we have our Sunday Mass covered with that celebration.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, but it must be Mass on Saturday night.
It is.
Well, we need to get a hold of our parish priests here in town and see if we've got kids going. And I believe if you want more information on how to get your youth to attend, or if you're a youth listening and want to attend, you can contact Kyle Holtgrave at K Holtgrave, that's KHOLTGRAVE, at dio.org.
Correct.
You can reach him at the diocese office at 217-698-8500, extension 154, that's 217-698-8500, extension 154. Or you can just call the diocese in general and ask for the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry and speak with Kyle about getting signed up to go, because it sounds like it's going to be an event where young people are going to be on fire for the faith. The
yes,
Holy Spirit
indeed.
Will be there making a special appearance.
If you've never seen him, folks, it's your opportunity.
So, Kyle, we appreciate you coming in this morning and talking to us about this great event. Keep us posted. I know,
yeah,
you, like you said, you do Totus Tuus.
Correct.
And several of the parishes here locally have gone to Families of Faith, as well as their PSR. I guess that's probably an individual parish choice, but
they all have different titles. But
right.
the idea is that we want to make sure there's lifelong faith formation in every parish, because that journey of discipleship should not end when we get sacramentalized.
Oh,
it should
right.
be, we should always be learning about our faith.
Right. And before you go, I want you to tell us about the article you wrote for our Sunday Visitor on the March for Life that you took to Washington.
The March for Life, every year, unfortunately, we have to go to Washington, D.C. It's on or around the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision,
right.
Roe v. Wade, that legalized abortion back in 1973. So every year I coordinate a bus pilgrimage to leave from various parts around the diocese. It's about a five-day trip where we'll travel overnight on a Wednesday. I believe it's January 19th when we depart. And then, actually, the march itself is on January 19th. So we depart on Wednesday, January 17th. We get there on Thursday, and we have some activities that we'll do in Washington. You'll have the choice of either going to the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception at Catholic University. They have a mass there with our bishops. And there's another option of going to the evening prayer service that they have with the Diocese of Arlington, where they'll have they'll go to George Mason University, and they'll have the arena there reserved for that. It's similar. It's like a miniature NCYC, where we'll have a band playing, we'll have a keynote speaker, there'll be a holy hour, reconciliation will be available on the concourses there at the dome. And then Friday morning, we have Mass with Bishop Pepperocki. We'll go to a local parish, and we'll cram as many people as we can into the church. And then from there, we'll go to the National Mall, where they'll have the actual demonstration. They'll start off with a rally sponsored by the March for Life.